feel like I should be like laying down in a therapeutic, like styled like office.
Yeah. I like lie down when I listen to podcasts. Welcome to Smoking Section, a podcast by Eternal Dragons, a digital archive that emulates nicotine-filled rave break conversations to reflect on Asian diasporic identity, the arts, and culture. I'm your host, Miles, aka DJ Oyasumi. Today we're joined by Trin. She is a curious, idiosyncratic musicophile hailing from Houston, Texas. She never really identified as an artist, but rather a free-spirited freak. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi. What's up? Free-spirited freak here.
Yes, yes. We love it. Yeah, actually, why don't we start there? Because like you were saying right before we started about just your relationship to the idea of artist and... You're saying some interesting stuff about how you associate it with career, like making money and stuff like that. So I'd be curious to hear more.
I think like always growing up, like, you know, my parents always were pushing, you know, I think all of us, like our parents pushing us to have like a career. And I never really like wanted to do the standard things that were like pushed on me, and I had always had interest in like drawing, and that was probably like the earliest form of me like doing any sort of art. And I just never saw myself making money, like doing it as a career. I don't think I was like navigated properly like as a child to know that I could do that, or that, you know, I was able to do that. So I never really had the confidence or like had the mentality like, oh, like I can go off, do this, make art, and like sustain a life doing that. So I always like struggled between like wanting to be creative, and like I went from like drawing when I was a kid, and then like photography was a huge part of my teen years all the way up until like my mid-20s. Like I heavily documented like everything, like in film photography. Like I didn't really use digital cameras, but that was like a huge part of it. And I listened to a lot of music, and I like went to like a bookstore and like looked at a lot of art, but I never knew how these people were able to like live their life only doing this, because I was like, I have to work at like this job at an optometrist office, or like, you know, like at a retail shop, or, you know, I didn't have time like coupled with like school. And I didn't have like the same like resources as other people. And also like I have been on my own since I was like really young. When I was like 16, I was pretty much like on my own. So like I worked and kind of put myself through school myself. So like the idea of going to art school was just like completely out of the question. As I got older, I moved to like another city to have like an easier situation in like a school and like living. So like I moved to Austin from Houston. Definitely like saw that possibility, but I still was like a struggling like 19-year-old like trying to go to school, and like, you know, never took out a loan. I paid for like all of my school with work that I had. So I'm fortunate now for that, but like during those times, I struggled like connecting with other people, because everyone kind of was like, I go to this university and I go to this art school and I'm a part of this. They had like a community. They had like other people that kind of had the same background or like had the same opportunities, and, you know, they were like doing it. And, you know, I went to a community college. Like I didn't go to like a fine art school or university, but I knew so many people and that like had that opportunity. And that was also really good, because I think I just saw all of the things that were possible from a different point of view of like, I was always like kind of like looking into that world. And, you know, like I never really had the sense of urgency to like make art. I just kind of like would make something or like do something and just kind of like it was really just for myself or like for a friend. And that's just kind of how I've been living. And then, yeah, like I think growing up in the South and like living in Houston, there was just so many like different sounds and like music. And that also like got me very curious about music. And living in Austin was like probably the jump start of like me like being a little bit more serious and like finding music, you know, just because it was like the music capital. And you just end up meeting like so many interesting people that like show you more music or that there are other outlets there that were easily accessible that I didn't, you know, I didn't have to like spend money to go to this record store and sit there for hours and like listen to music without them yelling at me. Like it was like encouraged, you know, they're like, yeah, like this young person wants to come in and I'm going to let them spend like 2 hours playing whatever records they want, which was like awesome. But in short, I've never really identified with being an artist because I've never like, you know, had the time or the luxury to kind of like be like, oh, I'm going to like spend a month and just do this.
You kind of touched on a few points like on community. Maybe we can start with just, yeah, growing up, community and your childhood and like how you were raised and stuff.
I was born in Florida and like my family kind of, like all the men, like my uncle and my grandpa, they're fishermen. So there was a lot of working on the boat or like at a shipping dock. I was born in Florida and then I lived in Detroit for a little bit. That was really cool, but I was like very young. Like I think my first memories were in Detroit, but mostly seasons and like different people. You know, I had cousins there and then we moved to the South and it was also for my grandpa and uncle. And, you know, it was very different, very different. I was around a lot more Asian people, but it was like kind of like chaotic. Like I don't know why the several years that I lived in Louisiana as a child, I was like, this is chaotic. Like there's just like a lot of racism, but then like within the community, it was just kind of like, I mean, actually, I don't know. Like, I feel like it was because I was like a new student all the time. Like, I literally like moved so much that I was constantly like the new kid. So then, like, aside from just being like the new kid, it's like you're new and you're Asian, like, you know. So it was kind of like this like double whammy. And then like being in Texas was definitely like that. Like, I feel like I lived in areas that had like a lot of Asian Vietnamese community, but we didn't really live around those like areas. I didn't actually really grow up in the area of Houston that had a lot of Asian community. I grew up in a district that was mainly like Black or Hispanic or Mexican, just like white, like not really like a lot of Vietnamese. And if there were Asians, it was like every other Asian but Vietnamese, which is also cool because I feel like living in Houston and having that, like, I, you know, knew more about, like, Cambodians and Filipino or Laos and like, learning about, like, music and just food and, like, just how the spiritual realms of every Asian culture differs but also connects. Like, that was always, like, an interest of mine since a young age just because I love going to, like, temple and, like, I wanted to be a monk when I was a kid. That was like something I told my mother. I was like, I want to be a monk. And she was like, what? Like, why do you want to be a monk? And I was like, I don't know. Like, I just feel like I identify with a monk. They just like do what they want or something. Or like, like my idea of a monk as a kid was like, they don't really do, like, it seems like they don't care about anything, but like really it's like the act of like, you know, you get older, you're like, yeah, that is what it is. It's like the act of not having attachments and stuff. So like that is very, you know, that has been like a deep rooted thing since I was a kid. Going back to growing up in the South, I think it was very hard for me. I didn't really connect with a lot of people. I had a lot of friend groups, but I never really fully connected. It was always like, hi, like I know this person, but I didn't actually like hang out with that many people. Like I was to myself mostly until I left home. So it was always like around family or just like very few people. I realized like I've always been very isolated, like growing up mentally, I guess. Sometimes, you know, you have, you know, people, but like you may not like share the same interests, but you share like, oh, we're like the only freaks. So like, it's fine. You know, like that was like the common thread, but I don't think I felt like any connection to a community until I moved to New York, really, in my early 20s. That's like when I actually started feeling like a sense of, oh, there's like other people who are interested in music and art. There was a sense of like connection once I left. But growing up, going to Chinatown or like going anywhere, like I always felt everyone was staring at me because I just looked not like all the other young kids in Houston and like those areas, like in Chinatown. Even now, when I go home, I definitely feel like I look different from everyone, like in a China, like at the shopping center, or like I just always feel like I stick out like a sore thumb. And I know that's probably like a lot internalized because I've just never felt that connection with a lot of people. But now, like, I definitely think the internet like really helps with that, where you like kind of are like distant friends with people. Like I've made a lot of friends through like Flickr and like just like LiveJournal and, you know, like those like really old platforms. Yeah. And like a few of those people like I'm still friends with, which is like really crazy. But it took going out to those places to like find community. I don't think I would have ever found it immediately if I had not left Houston. Living somewhere new or being in any like different situation creates this, not like a leveling up, but like, you know, you just kind of are like, oh, there's all this stuff up here. Oh, and then there's more stuff. And you just end up learning your whole life about like so many things, you know, like you're just, yeah.
Do you feel like Houston, like, or Texas, like something about that is also isolating as well? Just the setting itself, the city itself.
Yeah, I felt like Houston was definitely isolating. But Texas in general, just because there was, I don't know, like I never really identified with anything politically in Texas or just the general idea of what people think Texas is. Being in Houston used to be isolating in the sense that like there wasn't anything happening that like, you know, was that great. Like there would be shows that were rare that would come through that was like, oh my gosh, we have to go watch this. I'm gonna get in so much trouble sneaking out to like see this, but like gonna do it, which wasn't often, but it was pretty rare. And traveling really far out to like one good bookstore, I now know that I had like the best like bookstore ever to like go to. I lived, you know, where the Menil collection is, and it's like a really well-known gallery museum around the world. And as a kid, I didn't know that. I was just like, I'm sneaking into this bookstore. And I mean, you know, when you go to like a bookstore, like, and it's so nice, you feel like you can't open up a book and look at it before you don't buy it, because you know you're not going to buy it because yeah. It's expensive. But like, I went to the Menil a lot in the bookstore, and I like looked through everything. When I lived on my own, I was 16. I lived downtown Houston, and that was kind of chaotic, but I did find like Cactus Music, the Barnes & Noble, and Menil, and I just looked through everything. Like, I didn't know anything. Like, I was like, what is this? Like, you know, and I would just go through like photography and comic books and music and anything I like visually like was like, oh, this looks cool to me. Like, I'm going to read more about it. I think I was lucky to have that. And also the college radio station. That was a hitter first. Like, I accidentally found it when I was in middle school, and I always have it on in my room, like, at night. I don't think, like, I appreciated as much as now that I'm like, oh, I was actually kind of lucky to have these few places to go to. A lot of it was like alone time spent. I didn't do that with anyone. I did that just with myself, or if it was one other person, it would be like my sister or somebody dropped me off here, you know, like it wasn't a shared component. Like I think even still for like several years, I don't think I had like an outlet where like I was like, oh, like I discovered this. There was no like back and forth. It was always like back and forth in my head or something, you know. In a way, like it made me like listen to a lot more stuff, or like that filled a lot of friendship. not sad or anything, but like I have these tendencies of being a loner, not in a bad way, but I end up having this bubble because I'll get into something and then I'll just only do that. That's how I've always operated, in a sense of how I do anything. Like,
yeah, I was gonna ask if you're an only child, but you mentioned you have a sister.
Yeah, I'm the middle child. The loner is probably like the whole middle child syndrome, is it? Or like, yeah, like the,
I don't know, because I'm an only child.
It's like the black sheep syndrome. Like, I either was like compared to my sister, or like, and then, okay, so then the trifecta is like my sister is the oldest, and she was like awesome. She was like the model. And then it was me, and I was like really weird. And apparently my mom even said this at a young age. She was like, you're kind of a weirdo. And I was like, why are you you're telling me I'm a weirdo? She's like, well, you kind of are. Like, you're a strange kid, but not in a bad way. She was just like, you're just interesting. Like, I just wasn't like my sister. I was very curious. I think my mom always thought I was like in La La Land, but like I was always just looking at everything and like just in my head, you know. And then my little brother, he was the first male of the family and like the young one, the baby. So he got a lot of attention. And then it was me. Yeah, like I think I had like a chip on my shoulder about that when I was younger, but like not anymore. Even if I wasn't the middle child, I think I would still be kind of the same. Like I was always like off on my own, or like at any family function, I was like by myself. I had cousins my age, but I didn't hang out with them because they just didn't like the same things. They're very much like video games and like different types of other anime. I was into other, I don't know, I felt like I was like a little bit more goth like or something when I was younger. Like, everyone's like on a happy stone and I'm all like a child that only wears black. I definitely have always felt like the loner status or something.
Did you grow up around a lot of family?
Whenever I was younger, before I like hit middle school, I was, but that also was paired with moving a lot. So it would be like moving towards cousins, and you know, like in Detroit, I was around a lot of cousins. It was so cool. Like, you know, I was like, oh, kids my age and like girls and like, you know, all these people, and like we would have so much fun like walking around foraging berries. That was what I did in Detroit, like foraging berries and like playing outside with like tons of kids. When we moved to Louisiana, I didn't really have other kids my age, but there was Vietnamese kids. We lived in a Vietnamese community with my grandpa for a bit, but that was kind of chaotic because I think it was just a really poor neighborhood. So the school system was like really chaotic. The teachers were like never really around, or like, I don't know. There was a lot of chaos in a sense. And then when I moved to Houston, my dad, he got work in Houston, and we lived in an area that had virtually like not a single Vietnamese person. So going from like community, different kinds, and then coming to Houston, it was a complete cutoff. It actually took like months, I'm pretty sure, for my mom to even find Chinatown, because this was before Google Maps and like before the internet. And so she would like, I just remember poor her, she would drive to Chinatown and forget the way back home. And would drive like in circles downtown just to find like landmarks that she would remember to get back home. And it was like my sister and her were the only ones that were like, maybe this. And my sister's like a teenager, you know, and like I'm like in the back listening to like whatever on a Walkman, like not paying attention. And I'm like hungry. I'm like, why are we going in a circle? But like, you know, it was like that for a while until my mom got like more comfortable. And then it would be like every Sunday we would go to Chinatown and do all the shopping. And, you know, I would see other kids that, you know, looked like me. And I was like, there are other kids, but I knew that our interests were different. You know, like when you get older and you like figure out like, oh, like I really like darker music, or like I like kind of these like really weird movies or like art house movies. And I didn't like see a lot of that in Chinatown, but the lady at the video store that my mom would like rent from, she, because there was always this like bootleg video store, you know, like it's like in every classic Chinatown. Yeah. That place was so cool. It was like the same woman my mom had went to since like forever, and they got like a bigger space. That's like how I found like Wong Kar Wai movies when I was like 12. And I'm like freaking
advanced.
I was like watching like freaking Fallen Angels when I was like 12 and not really understanding like there's an age limit for this, and like totally not like realizing like, yeah, I probably shouldn't watch this, but this is really sexy. And like, oh my gosh, I didn't know I could be like this. Yeah, I got very lucky, like being able to like identify something visually and being like into it and just like basing it off of that, and like got lucky. And I was like, oh, I bought like 3 Wong Kar Wai movies when I was a child. And like, I watched like Itchy the Killer like when I was like 13 with my uncle, because we thought we were watching like some action cop movie. Like he thought he bought like an action cop movie when I went with him, and we were like, no, we're watching Itchy the Killer, and it's pretty gruesome and like insane, and the soundtrack is like so intense. And I just remember sitting there like this and looking over at my uncle like is he gonna judge me if I like this? Or like, are we not supposed to watch this together? Like, oh my God. It's pretty crazy. I know he like left towards the end because he was like, I can't watch this anymore.
I haven't seen it. Oh, I haven't seen it.
You'll know exactly what I mean whenever I'm like, it's pretty gore. Like, it's really gore, and it's just so strange for a Vietnamese man in his like 50s to watch, you know, like with a 13-year-old girl.
Yeah.
Like, it was pretty, it was, yeah, not a good thing for him, but like,
he didn't stop it.
No, he didn't stop it. And he was probably the best uncle to like watch that kind of stuff with, because he was like the cool guy. He was like,
yeah,
I'm going to let you watch this. I'm not going to say anything to your dad or your parents. But I like definitely, that video store was like an asset, because I watched like so many things with my mom through there that wasn't like cool. It just, you know, like shows, and a lot of it was like bootleg. And that, you were asking me about like why I have like so many different languages in music. And it really is because I have always just been around so many different Asian media, like shows and music, because it all like came as a bootleg dubbed in Vietnamese. So it was like this weird thing. Like my mom would watch like a Korean soap opera, and it would have like the original audio, but then like when someone's talking, it would blank out and it would be in Vietnamese, so you only heard the vocal. So there's no, you know, like that was like a big part of it. And like noticing that when you're a kid, you're just like, what is, like, like, what is dub? Like, what is dubbing, you know? Like, animes when I was younger weren't dubbed in English. They were dubbed in Vietnamese. So, like, I watched Sailor Moon in Vietnamese. I watched Ramen, the one where the girl changes into a boy when it's, like, the water gets hot. Pokemon, too. Like, my little brother got to rent that later on, and it was also dubbed in Viet. So, yeah, that was pretty cool.
That's cool. That's really cool. The video store, was it a Vietnamese owner?
Yeah, it was a Vietnamese owner. It started off as a really small shop next to the dentist I went to as a kid, somewhere in Bear Lair. But then it became like a bigger video store when the great big Hong Kong market opened, because it was like all these like small shops earlier on. But then when they opened this huge plaza, everyone kind of like moved to this big plaza and they got like a really big space. And so there was just like more stuff, more music, more movies and shows, and like everyone frequent there. That was like the spot. It was like a hopping area.
That sounds sick. Yeah, it seems like from a pretty young age, you were really curious and just experiencing a lot of different like forms of media. And that's sort of just been like ingrained in you. I'm curious about the move to Austin. Did you move to Austin for school?
Yeah, because I found out that if you went to the community college there and signed up for any of like the art courses, so if you were taking that path to like then transfer, they had the same teachers as UT, or they were like teachers who used to teach at UT, or they actually had like a really good program. And like, I had really great like design teachers. They all like went to like SDA, or like, you know, they were like all graduated from New York. Like my type teacher was like a working typographer, and he was like, I wanted to move back home and like off New York. And I was like, cool. You're like a cool teacher. When I learned about that, I was like, okay, I could go to school for art. So I moved to Austin with all the money I had, which was not a lot. And then I got like a really small spot in Austin. I was like very much on my own, and I started working, and then I got into community college. After 3 years, I had an opportunity to move to New York, and I didn't finish school because I was like, oh, I'm going to transfer to FIT or like another school to like finish off my communication design degree. But then when I got to New York, I went straight into working. The idea of taking out a loan then was like very scary. And like money was very, I have like a very, like I hate money. Like it's just like I never, you know, like wanted to take out a loan. I was like so afraid of that, and like getting a grant and like anything that dealt with money, like kind of, I was like, I can only work this much, and like, I can only have this, you know? And like living in New York was so crazy. So I just went into like working, and then that kind of led to me finding like other people and getting me like different jobs that kind of shared my interests of like, oh, because I wanted to be a photographer for so long, since I was so young. Like I was like, I want to be like a photographer for a journalist. Like I just want to go around the world and just take pictures of people and everyday human life. Like nothing special. I'm not trying to create like a new style of art or anything. Like I was really focused on capturing the moment in time. And I felt like there was always so many things happening to me that I felt like I needed to have like a visual memory snapshot of it. I think over time, like I associate memory with just like a photograph, or like I visually remember things. Semi sort of pursued that. But when I got to New York and I realized kind of like how things are, and just at least during the time that I was living in New York in my like core early 20s, I felt like a lot of it stemmed from being very social and like who's who and who do you know, or what art school did you go to? And like, I had none of those things. And I isolated myself in a way, because I was just like, oh, like I don't have these credentials. Like I can't do this. And you know, like now I'm glad that's kind of not like an issue anymore, I think. So I feel like you push what you do more, and like going to like whatever school doesn't actually like, it's not at the forefront anymore. Not like it used to be, you know, like, you know, I didn't go to RISD. I didn't go to, you know, like I didn't go to like an artsy place. Being in New York, I got really jaded about photography. I've had like some really great opportunities that I passed up purely out of just like not being confident or never really having a lot of people like kind of elevate me or like push me to that direction. So it just like, I kind of just let it fall through the cracks. And I like did like product photography for work for a while for like a luxury brand company. And that was fun, but I don't think I took it as serious as I wanted to, if I wanted to have it as a career. But during the like years I lived in New York, that was like my battle. That was like the greatest battle of like working and like having money and like, you know, paying rent and then like struggling to like find my voice. I just worked mostly. And I think I like enjoy it better, like observing and like keeping quiet. I'm just going to be me and like not put any pressure on having to succeed or like having that like be my success. Like you have to be a photographer or something, you know? I feel like everybody has their own like struggle in like finding their path. And mine has always just been like the sense of belonging and the sense of community. Since I've never really had that since a young age, it was really hard for me to find that as an adult because I didn't know how to connect in that way, or I didn't know how to ask for help. All the years of struggling of like, do I want to be a photographer? Do I want to make music? Am I going to paint? I also went through like wanting to be a weaver, making candles. Like I had like a short-lived career making like organic soy candles, like in the more recent like last few years, I think I've been struggling finding a way to like connect everything I've done. Like how do you describe a person that just like wants to do everything, like, and like how do I lump that into like my everyday life? And I'm like, oh, I already do that. Like I am just me. Like if I want to make something, like I'll make it. I try not to think of it as like I need to showcase this and like make people know like I am this, you know. I used to hate when people ask me like, what do you do? Like, I don't know, like everything. You know, I just kind of like went through the circle of life of testing everything out.
I think it's the way that society is like kind of asking us to be put into like one box, or you have to like identify as like, I'm a painter or I'm a photographer, or like if you do multiple things, you're like, I'm a multimedia interdisciplinary artist.
I hate that. I really do. 언젠간 가겠지 푸르니 청춘 지고 또 피
슬퍼지면 차라리 보내야지 돌아서야지 그렇게 세월은 가는 거야.
What do you think has helped you process that journey to get to where you are now in terms of how you think about your passions or your like interests?
Now that I'm older, like I feel more comfortable having a passion for things that don't bring me money. It's not like career based, but it's more driven through like my heart or like my love of it. I feel comfortable exploring that without having fear of like, oh, I don't have time to do that. I think the last several years of like how our minds are like opening up to like a different idea of like living, I think it's been a lot easier for me to accept that I don't have to like do anything extraordinary, you know, like I don't have to do something that like is going to change the world. I know that's not all that there is. Going through a lot of changes in my life has helped me feel more comfortable identifying with myself as a person, or like trying to figure out my roots and like really like learning more about myself. Like I feel like I learned a lot about everything else but myself.
Mm.
I always thought I was like a shadow of some sort, and like I would just take on other people's things just to be like fitting in, but it wasn't really like truly me 100%. I feel like sometimes you just aren't ready to like dig into like who you are in certain times of your life. I went through like several loss in the family and friends, changes in my like health. So then I started doing something I used to do when I was sad or like I missed friends or family. I would make a mix and send it to them. This year, I just kind of was like, I miss everybody. And I was also living on an island for 3 years and like I was isolated. It all started from like me missing something, and then I would, oh, this song like remind me of this, and then I would just go into this like rabbit hole of like, oh, but remember this time, and then like, oh, this band, and oh, this person, and you know, you're just kind of like fork off, and that's kind of like how I also just listen to music in general. My mom would like sing karaoke at the end of the night, and you know, like on a weekday, just like
every night.
It was frequent when I was younger, oh, but like as like when we got older, it like happened a lot less. But like, yeah, they would just be like my mom, my uncle, just like my dad sometimes. And it would be so loud. Like I was always like so embarrassed if anyone came over and they had to like, they're like, what's going on at your house? Like, are you having a party? Like who's screaming? And I'm like, that's not screaming, they're singing. But you know how like karaoke music's like all copyright, to like it would be like a different version of like a popular song. The vast catalog comes from just loving like one song and then like realizing that so many people have covered it all over the world, and you're just like so excited about that. I was like, oh my gosh, like this country did it way better. Like I would hear music from other artists and then realize it's a cover of the Beatles. And I'm like, oh, they did it so much better. And, you know, like, I'd just be like so disgusted by like, this was a Beatles song. Like, what? And like realizing like so many people fucking love the Beatles. Like they just love the Beatles all around the world. And people cover it frequently, like in Japan, in China, in Vietnam, in like freaking Africa, in India, like all like psych music, like all like every realm of the freaking globe has like, there's a version of a Beatles song in their genre of music, which is super, like I love that. I'm not in love, so don't forget it. It's just a silly phase I'm going through. And just because I called you up, don't get me wrong, don't think you've got it made. I'm not in love, no, no. No.
How do you think about karaoke? Maybe like your thoughts on it based on like your family's relation to it, but also the existence of covers and like motivations for like doing karaoke, like the significance or like why people do it.
I don't know. I always think that like the people who seriously like in my family, the people who seriously do karaoke, I know wanted to be singers. Like, for sure. Like, there's the complex of wanting to be, like, a musician. Or, like, my dad had a guitar in the house. I've never seen him play, and I don't know why he had it. But it was, like, a Fender Stratocaster. And I was just, like, trying to pretend to, like, learn this as a, like, when I was a kid. I think my dad probably wanted to be in music, I feel like. He's never said this, but I feel like I see it, like, yeah. Around, I'm like, we have like this crazy sound system. There's like all these mics. I mean, I feel like that is like just in Vietnamese culture, like the karaoke game is like, gotta like level up, like gotta have the best gear or something, like the soundboard and like all these things. But my mom, she like just loves singing. Like, I think everyone in my family who did karaoke just like loves to sing. And I really love to sing too, but not for like, it's really like when I'm at home by myself. Like,
not in front of people.
Yeah, like I'm like the biggest shower singer ever. Like if you're driving by me in my car and I'm in my car, I'm 100% like singing like very loudly.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like it's just ingrained, like we all just love to sing. And when I visited Vietnam, like the culture, singing there is like pretty serious. Like not everyone sings, but like anyone has a good voice, or if they're very serious, they're like pretty locked in. And I feel like it's very like rehearsed in a sense that my cousin or like family friend, like this is their song. Like they know this song in and out in every iteration, like, you know, and when that moment comes for them to perform publicly, they're just like, it's a whole different person. Like I was like, what? It's a serious thing. Now, like I'll go with friends to go do karaoke, and that like spark of like, you know, like really loving a song and just not caring about like how you sound and just sing your heart out is like so special to me. I love that way more. I think that's why I love covers so much, because I feel like most covers, especially like unknown ones, are like really sung out of like the love of it, like love of that actual track, or like, because that's why I feel like when I find a cover and I like it more, and I'm like, why do I like it more? And it's like, this artist like definitely felt this like deeper connection to the song. Like it affected their life, and they like felt the need to like cover it. And it's so intense. I feel like I hear the words deeply in that version than the original most of the time. But I feel like I am a cover. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like I am not American. I don't feel like I'm Vietnamese. I feel like I'm a cover of that. Or like I'm, you know what I mean? Like, I just, there is that sense of just not, it's not quite right, but it is.
Mm-hmm.
I also feel like music kind of finds you at the right time. So like sometimes I will like a band or a song that someone has probably been like, how have you never heard this before? And I'm just discovering it. That happens a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I feel that way too.
Karaoke, covers, anything that is like so like at the core of like how I've like become a person that, yeah, like it's very like there for me. Like it's there in like the way I listen to music. It's there in the way like I make things, and yeah. Yeah.
I like that. I got chills when you were talking about the, it makes so much sense with covers. Like it's somebody that just really likes that song enough to like want to do it themselves. And they're, I feel like also with covers, they're always kind of trying to approach it very intentionally, thinking about like, okay, how can I do this in like my own voice while also being like sort of respectful to like what the reason I fell in love with the song.
Yeah.
There's like a lot of care that goes into it, I feel like.
And also like keeping true to the notes, but also like making it your own. It's like, that's like the biggest struggle in all of our lives, I think.
I feel like that's a good transition to talk about the mix that you did for us.
Yeah.
You sent me a lot of info, like what you were thinking about when you were making the mix, like the mindset you were in, like in terms of spirituality too. So I'd be curious to just kind of know your process and like some of the tracks and their significance or like memories, like some of the things that you're thinking about.
When you were asking me about the mix, I actually was going through a whole journey with having to deal with my thyroid because it was a possibility that I might have cancer. And so it was like a lot of emotions were like running really high. I'm good now, cancer free. Like,
good.
I'm in a good position. Last year and the year before, I wasn't listening to music how I usually was, and I was very much like troubled by like life and just my health, and it was kind of a struggle, and I definitely like felt like I was losing a lot of myself. And I was also reading a lot about Buddhism, and because I've always felt a connection with religion. Like when I was growing up, when we'd go to a temple and we would have to like sit and pray, I didn't really know what I was doing when I was a kid, but like I deeply felt like I knew without anyone telling me. And I don't know if that's like with everyone, you know. The first time I lived in Vietnam for the summer, my best friend was a monk who lived at the temple across the street. And I would sing him American songs, and he would actually like feed me, because I'd be like, I'll sing you a song, but like I want some tofu stuff, like da da da. And he would be like, okay, like you have to sing me this, and then I'll get you some food, or like I'll let you sit in this pond, or I'll play backgammon with you, or like tennis. And I would be like, yes. Like it was a very weird thing, but like I really loved hanging out there because they had like really cool pagodas and temples, and like I just loved it. I didn't think about it too much until recently, and I started exploring that and started to read more of it in a way that explained the reasons behind certain practices and rituals and like quote unquote like rules, you know, like just like why do we bow, like why do we do these mudras, or like why do we on this day do this, or you know, like when someone dies, why do we have to do all these things, because it's kind of intense. And when my grandpa died, there are these rituals that were done before he was taken to, you know, like it was just like very intense practices, and that kind of freaked me out. But I also was like, whoa, like I really need to know why we do this, like what does it mean to practice all these things, and like well, where's the connection in the spirit world? Like, how do I speak to the spirit world? Like, am I speaking to the spirit world? Like, what am I, you know, like, so there's a lot of that. And so I spent a lot of time just kind of like reading about the history of Buddhism and Taoism, and astrology was like a huge bit of that too, because I think it was easier to get into Western astrology, like at a very like, oh, you know, like in my early 20s, and like, oh, you're a Leo, like, you know, like those like very like surface levels of like, oh yeah, like I'm your moon or like whatever. The last 2 years I've been more interested in like, how did those dialogues like start? When you asked me to make the mix, it was like the exact time frame of like one of the biggest rituals that happens every year in my family. Like, my mom does like a huge feast. She makes like an altar at midnight for this day and like for the week. And when I was younger, my mom would call me like, don't eat any meat for like this amount of days. And I'd be like, okay, like, but why? And she wouldn't tell me why. So
yeah,
I don't do anything really ritualistic, but this whole year I definitely started a ritual in how I was like listening to music. Like, some sort of nostalgic moment will happen. Going through some loss this last year brought up old music for me. Music from when I like knew this person, or like or music when I shared this time frame of my life. Leading up to my surgery, I kind of was like having a lot of reflection time. And so all the mixes that you've heard this year has just been that. Like, it is me reflecting on rediscovering like all the things I used to love. Even like the imagery of what I'm showing for the mix, it's like I was reading all about this flower because like I was having trouble sleeping, and this flower actually like helps sleep or like has medicinal properties. And like, it would just make me realize, oh, there's this song that's called this that like talks about this. And like, I'll remember something, and it's, I can't even really tell you like, if I have a formula, it's like literally chaos of like how I'm finding music. It's like, I couldn't tell you like how I really like, I don't have a practice. I just kind of go, like, I'm just like, I'm in it, you know?
Nice. I like it.
It was a very spiritual healing mix for me because of exactly what I was going through. And it made me think back to the time that I was really stoked on discovering music, just discovering myself slowly. And those were like a lot of the songs that I was listening to during that time, but like the originals and not the covers that you are hearing in the mix. Jolie Taxi was one that I remember just singing out of my car with friends, and like the Doors cover. I used to listen to The Doors like all the time when I was really preteened, and like loved that track, loved hearing it at night. Or I was talking to somebody else about this. We were talking about how like karaoke music and just Vietnamese music in general has some sort of sadness to it. Not like it's always sad, but there is always this sullen feeling. And when I was making the mix, I was definitely thinking about myself as a ghost. And if I was a ghost, what would I want to listen to? And if you were a ghost that was trapped in like the in-between world, what was going to make you happy? Or like, what would the state of your mind be in? And it was like, you're constantly in a state of nostalgia because you're stuck wanting to be free, but like, you can't leave the past. But I went kind of deep. I went like very I got really into it. I definitely role played in making the mix. It helped. It helped.
Yeah.
Being around like so many different types of people, and that like really opens me up with like knowing so much music. It's like I have so many different types of friends and they all have different interests, and I'm grateful for that. But anyways, gonna like stop so you guys don't have to like go through all this audio. Like, you guys are gonna be editing.
Yeah.
It was really, 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 really awesome talking to you, and I'm so glad that you guys are creating a space for community and just like connecting. I definitely like really feel connected to you guys, and I wish you guys were around when I was like in my early 20s.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really special. Yeah, I've really enjoyed talking to you. Thanks for joining us.
Until we meet again. Bye.
You can find Trin on Instagram at Trin777 or at her website, cargocollective.com/Trin. She also has a new monthly residency on NTS Radio. And you can find us on Instagram, SoundCloud, Bandcamp, etc. at Eternal Dragons. Thanks for listening.
Eternal Dragons.